Hey, wonderfuls. Welcome to episode 337 of the JV Club with my wonderful boy of summer, Michael Rosenbaum. I'm not going to say Michael Rosenbaum, but to find out why, you'll have to listen to the episode. I was so thrilled to have him on the podcast. He, of course, is the partner of Chris Sullivan in their own podcasting adventure called In Love, which you can subscribe to. There's a wonderful teaser out. You can go to Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get your podcasts. Look for them. Subscribe. The official premiere is August 26th. And I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I feel that this podcast is a wonderful companion podcast to my podcast. And vice versa. I am very much looking forward to listening to the podcast and, dare I say, perhaps being on it. So please take a listen to this and check out In Love. I also wanted to make a couple of quickie announcements. Number one is I'm very excited to tell you that the JV Club will be doing a live, I don't know why I'm putting it in the third person like it's someone else. I will be doing a live JV Club episode in Brooklyn at the wonderful Bell House, where I have spent many fun, thrilling adventure hour and Spontanea Nation and Spontour Co. times. Cannot wait. Guests TBA. But it will be on Wednesday, October 6th at 8 p.m. I'm sorry, Wednesday, October 9th at 8 p.m. I am not going to go back and record this whole intro. Wednesday, October 9th, 8 p.m., $20. I don't know that there's a ticketing link up yet, but I wanted to get this announcement out into the world. So I will confab with the Bell House and follow me at Janet Varney. For more info, follow me at Janet Varney on Twitter or at the JV Club on Instagram. And then I also wanted to say that for those of you who are in the Atlanta area or planning on going to Dragon Con, I'm very much looking forward to being there a week from, I believe, Thursday. So next week when a new episode comes out, I will be en route to Dragon Con. I'm doing a bunch of really fun shows and panels. My dear darlings, Hal Lublin and Mark Agliardi will be there, and Mike Furman and a bunch of other pals and friends, and I can't wait to go. So if you are around, please come check something out. Say hi. I'll be doing signings as well. And I think that's it. This is a lot of ado. I don't usually have this much ado, but without further ado, please enjoy this episode. That's it, and there's no, I'm not going to introduce you, I'm not going to, would you like to self-introduce?
Hi, folks, this is Janet's friend Michael Rosenbaum. My dad says Baum, I say bomb, he gets upset with me, but
oh, okay.
I'm in the entertainment industry, guys.
Has the family tradition stopped with you, or did your dad, is your dad the weirdo who, like, the rest of your family doesn't say Baum, but he does?
I always talk about this. You know, by the way, it happened like years ago where I said some fan or somebody came up to me and goes, hey, are you? I go, yeah, I'm Michael Rosenbaum. And then afterwards, my dad goes, what's your name?
Oh.
And I go, is that a joke? He's like, what's your name?
Oh, no.
I go, Michael. Is this kind of some fun game you're going to play with me? What's your last name? I go, Rosenbaum. He goes, your last name is Rosenbaum. And I go, yeah. What's that? He goes, it's Baum. And I go, Dad, I love you. Fuck off. I will never say Baum.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's easy to just say Rosenbaum.
That's
Rosenbaum.
That's basically like the Australian no. That was like
Nar.
All the vowels.
Nar.
All of them were in there.
Yeah, Baum. Why do they do that?
A-I-O-U. It's all in there. That's what he wants. He's greedy.
Well, I just think that's the correct way to say your name.
You guys had never had this exchange before because he never heard you say your last name to anyone?
No, I think he would say,
it's an ongoing.
I remember hearing him say like Mark Rosenbaum. And I was just like, yeah, I don't know. It sounds to me, it's like, hey, Rosenbaum's having people over.
Yes.
Not Rosenbaum is having,
listen, by the time you get through that, somehow it's so much longer, no one wants to party anymore.
And by the way, guys out there, just say it really quick. Just say Rosenbaum. And then go, Rosenbaum.
Rosenbaum.
It's hard. Your mouth goes, ow.
Shockingly hard.
Yeah, it's not even hard. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I'm fucking lazy. I'm just lazy. I don't want to do it.
Do you have siblings?
I do.
Do they say Rosenbaum?
I don't listen.
Great.
I don't remember the last time one of us said Rosenbaum.
Here we are all together. Well, Rosenbaum.
Yeah, it's a broken family. It's you know, well, it is. I mean, my mom and dad, my mom was married when she was, she had my brother when she was 16, my sister when she was 17.
Yeah.
you know, abusive relationship. Then she married my dad, and then my dad was 18 when he got pregnant with me, had me at 19, had my brother at 25. You know, my dad took on her first two kids. Then they got divorced after 27 years. My mom remarried. My dad remarried for the second time, had two more kids. So it's kind of like, yeah, man, it's all over
the place.
They're
scattered like
seeds.
They
are scattered. There's a lot of dysfunction. But it's
great.
You know, it makes for some great storytelling. By the way, I see that you record your own shit. Like you don't need an engineer.
I don't. I mean, would I be served by one? Certainly when this leaves me and goes up into the air, into satellites, I don't know how the internet works. And then my producer at Maximum Fun, Julian, is the person who mixes it down. Like he
edits,
mixes it down.
Do you have that edited?
You know what? He cuts out dead space. Like, so for when we do our MASH game, if you're like struggling to think of an idea,
don't worry.
Make
me sound smarter.
He'll make you sound like bam, 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 bam.
Yeah. Are you quick on your feet, by the way?
I'm pretty quick.
Because you do the whole improv thing. So
it's
you've
the
been
improv
like, yeah.
That really helps.
I am too, but like I get confused really easily. When my nerves are up, like I feel like I always get anxiety thinking if I was a contestant on like Family Feud.
Oh, that's a totally different thing. Or like, I would stink on one of those.
But I feel like if I'm watching Jeopardy with like a close buddy and we're just sitting there and, you know, might have had a hit off a joint, I'd go, what is Tagalog? The national Filipino language, of course.
Yeah.
But if you had me in front of someone, they'll go, "What color is the sky?" I'm like, "I don't know. I know this one.
I know. I would freak out.
Even like that. It happens to me so often. I get nervous about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. If it's something like that, where something like with improv, if you do it enough and you're surrounded by people you trust, it doesn't feel like an on the spot as much as something like that would. But where something's at stake, I'm just competitive enough to care very deeply, but also not competitive enough to be good at being competitive, if that makes any sense.
It does make sense.
So I'll beat myself up for sucking, which will cause me to suck more, and I will care. And that the whole thing just implodes in my brain, and I will completely draw a blank.
I just feel like sometimes, like even with improv, mm-hmm. That was the remix. Improv,
this is a sweet jam.
I just feel like sometimes, like they'll say something, and you're like, I don't even know the reference. What are they doing? I'm just gonna go with it. I don't even know what that means, and I should know, but I'm sure I do that too. And people are like, I don't know what you're talking about.
You just gotta, again, I think the best moments are the ones where you realize, like, I have no idea what this person's talking about, and you either call that out, which I'm sure is against the rules.
Yeah, I would not do that. I would just play it out like I knew what they were talking about.
But you don't have to call it out where you're like suddenly breaking whatever the scene is and going, I don't know what that is.
Sorry, you're going to have to do that again.
Yeah, but if somebody said something like, you know, you don't know that this rose quartz is made of da-da and you don't know what that is, you would be like, I had a teacher named Rose Quartz. So, like, you just sort of turn it into, like, either do that or just say, right, yes, and that would be, like, just sort of, because the audience is on your side, I think. And so if they see you, like, staying in it and keeping the energy high and not just totally freezing, I think for them it's fun because suddenly they feel like they're on the inside of it. It's like, oh, my God, I also don't know what that is. Like,
do you ever
walk out going,
God, I failed? God,
oh yeah, for
just
sure.
Fucking awful.
For sure.
God, I hope that doesn't happen again, but I know it will.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
But did you have that? Because I don't do stand up, but I can. That's one of the things that is so intimidating.
Well,
about
I forced myself to do stand up for a year, playing music. I probably will go back to stand up, I think, but it's just I'm so hard on myself. It's just like that's what I'm working at right now. It's just you have to realize that you're not perfect. No one's perfect. Everybody fails. Failing is going to make you stronger, and it sounds all easy to go, oh yeah, of course, everybody fails. But there's something ingrained in me since a child, you know, where I just felt like I have to be great, or I have to be, you know. But you're failing yourself because you can't be perfect.
Yeah.
So anything you do is a failure. So if but if you can go in there and just like really. Like, I want to go back to the time when it was really fun. I think I miss that sometimes, where I was like, you're young and you're ambitious and you have endless energy and let's just do it. And you don't think about anything. But the older you get, and somebody else said this, maybe many people, but the older you get, it feels like our insecurities are there, are
baked
more
in
present.
More.
I think you get, to me, as I get older, I feel like I'm more insecure.
Really?
I was less insecure. I think, but I'm also very honest about it. I'm very honest about being insecure. Like, I'm sort of like, yeah, I'm uncomfortable. Yeah, I got anxiety this morning. Yeah, yeah, I had to meditate for 30 minutes, but now I'm pretty good.
I think, first of all, that's great. Second of all, I totally identify with what you're saying about being young and doing that, because I have often said to people, like, there are so many things I never did because either I was sure I would suck at them, or I tried it half-heartedly once and was terrible and just wrote it off. Like, I don't want to feel like that again.
Yeah.
I was terrible.
Yeah.
I don't have a natural, I'm not naturally adept at that like I am with these couple of other things. So I'll just stick with the stuff that comes easily to me, because I don't like that uncomfortable feeling of not looking like I know what I'm doing, or not knowing what I'm doing, or just failing and getting frustrated. And I would say, while some things maybe I've become have become baked in, I do feel like there was a point at which it did sink in more just in the last few years. Like, oh, for sure I can. No one has. I'm the one who determines whether I am my most famous what snorkeler or not, because my whole life I was like, oh, no, not me. I don't know how to snorkel. I love the underseas. That's for someone else, though.
Right.
And then finally someone was like, we're in Hawaii, you're going to snorkel. And then I snorkel and I was like, I'm a snorkel, everybody. I'm a snorkeler.
Isn't it so
exciting?
But
it's a thing where you think somebody's already done it and you're like, oh, that belongs to people who really love it and they've always loved it. Rather than like, you know what? I just tried it. Turns out I love it.
Well, that's...
And I'm bad at it, and I'm going to get better.
You know what? Or not.
Or not.
Because I just went through something. I'm not going to get really into it, but I just experienced something in the last month of my life, which will probably sound trivial and will sound like, what? Like, you should have experienced it a long time ago. Like, I don't know. It's just me being honest.
Yeah.
But I went to this place... And one of their things was expressive art therapy. And I said, no. No thanks. I'd like some actual therapy.
Right.
I'd like some behavioral therapy, some psychoactive, psychoanalysis.
Yeah.
I'd like something deep. I'd like to, help.
Let's probe. Let's really probe.
My dysfunction, help me. Expressive art therapy, no.
Yeah.
And I went in there, and this woman, Comer, who was just so gentle and sweet, she sat there and we talked, and she was just very zen. And I'm like, okay, what the hell are we doing here? What am I doing? And then we went over to her table, and there were paintbrushes and pastels and all these different things. I don't know what the hell they were. And she's like, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. And I go, you know what? This isn't a good idea. She goes, well, what do you mean? I go, I'm good at a lot of things. This isn't one of them. I just don't think that. She goes, Michael, there are no saboteurs here. All the judges are outside. I'm like, yeah, look, I'm colorblind. I could tell you some jokes. I'm a killer joke teller. And she's like, let's just try it. Draw circles, squares. I don't care.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm here. I might as well do it. And I started to do it. And then 15 minutes went by that I wasn't even aware went by. And I had this calmness that kind of blanketed me. And again, it may sound like, okay,
I don't think there's a natural arc for any of this stuff that's like by this age. I think it happens all over.
Arrested development right here. And it just took me a long time.
I don't know
if
I agree, but.
Well, I'm learning things now that I just didn't because of whatever family stuff and like life. And
yeah.
So I feel this peacefulness over me. And then I look up at her and she's drawing and she just looks up for a quick second and smiles at me. I fucking broke down. I started crying in front of this woman who I had never met before. And I was just like, oh my God, this is really embarrassing. I'm sorry about that. She goes, no. Do you want to talk about it? We don't have to. And I go, no, I just, holy crap. And I said, and this came out subconsciously. It did not come out like it was not like I thought about this. This is the reason. I'm telling you, it was almost for the very first time this came out.
Yeah.
I looked at her and I said, I got F's and D's in art class and I was colorblind and I was made fun of and I was called stupid. And I always, like, the smell of an art class scared me. And I remember them talking about the color wheel and primary colors and this. And I blanked. I couldn't comprehend anything because I couldn't differentiate a lot of them.
Yeah.
And And I go, and I just want to stay away from art. And then I'm here, and you're so patient with me, and you're so kind and sweet, and I feel safe, and I've never had that. And I'm crying, and I'm like, fuck, I'm crying in expressive art therapy. And then I really didn't understand, or I didn't know then how important this was. A breakthrough for me. This was like, this was something I needed so long ago that I never had. So it was like that fourth grader or fifth grader
totally
had really the picture that I drew that day as an adult was that of a fourth or fifth grader, like being patient and just sitting there and having fun with art. And from there, it was pretty incredible because I started doing like, and I'm not good, because it's the first thing in my life where I do and I don't think I have to be great. I don't think anything.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be Van Gogh's and bomb.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like, I just came up with that. Improv.
That's strong. Yeah. That's strong. As long as it's not Baum. Great.
Yeah. Van Gogh's and Baum. And so I started doing it and I got the, you know, some other people. I came home and I emailed all my friends, like 10 friends. I have more friends than that, but some close friends. And I said, hey, we're going to do expressive art therapy Friday. And I bought a whole bunch of art supplies and I want to talk to you about my story, and I think it will just be different and fun. And they came and I told them the story that I just told you, and everybody sat down. My friend Shira, my friend Chris, my friend, you know, and we just sat down and we drew, and nobody judged. There's one person who was good, another person who was pretty good, but it didn't matter. Like, I don't know perspective, so I'm trying to do this house and a porch that looks like it's just on.
That's hard.
Like the house is on top of the porch. I don't know what I'm doing. I've had no guidance. So we did it. And then it's funny because today I stopped by my uncle's house on the way to Santa Monica. I just stopped by to say hi. And we sat down and we started talking. And he starts to tell me the story before I tell the colorblind story. Because I said, yeah, I went there and I took art therapy. He goes, oh, I got a story for you. And he said that in fourth or fifth grade, he was called stupid because he's completely colorblind.
Oh, my God.
And I go, I was just about to tell you the same story.
That's nice.
And we had this moment, and I was like, you should come over on Friday night. I'm doing another expressive art class at my house. It's not a class. It's just like, hey, I got canvases. I got whatever. You could start paying for your own shit now that I did it the first time. But friends. But anyway, that was just like, it was one of those times in my life, probably the only time where I was like, I can do this and not think about being good.
Yeah.
I don't have to be good. Yeah. And I think that's more like what I want to aspire to, is someone who could just be and do things and not worry about being judged. And I think that's, you know, it's 47. I'm like, holy shit, that's taken a long time to figure that out. And it shows you how important like your developmental years are, and your parents, how important they can be, and your teachers. And so anyway.
Does your uncle live here because you grew up here?
No, I didn't grow up here.
Where'd you grow up?
I was born in New York, but I grew up in Indiana.
Oh, okay.
And my uncle is like he's a world-renowned animal expert / psychologist, dog psychologist / author. He's written like 10 books on animals, and he used to train Rodney Dangerfield's dogs. He was like telling me.
I thought you were going to stop just at Rodney Dangerfield. He used to train Rodney Dangerfield.
Hey, Warren, I tell you, huh? And he did. He said he was like in the movies. He would come up. He goes, Warren, I tell you, I get no respect. My dog rides my leg with his eyes open. You know, or, no, with his eyes closed. No respect, Warren, I tell you. You know, he trained Pacino's dogs.
Oh, my God.
He said Pacino and his friends were playing like Atari and like stoned. Lily Tomlin, he brought her dogs to the Emmys. He trained Letterman's dogs. They used to be friends. And so he's written a bunch of books. He has a radio show. Great guy. Like, he spent his life just like devoting his time to saving animals, rescuing animals. And so I adore him. Like, that's his life. So it's pretty cool. So
how does he say his last name? Don't answer that.
His last name is Eckstein.
Yeah.
My mom's maiden name is Eckstein. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
I'm Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
And together, we host a podcast called Still Buffering, where we answer questions like,
why should I not fall asleep first at a slumber party?
How do I be fleek?
Is it okay to break up with someone using emojis?
And sometimes we talk about butts.
No, we don't.
Nope.
Find out the answers to these important questions and many more on Still Buffering, A Sister's Guide to Teens Through the Ages.
I am a teenager.
And I was too. Butts.
No. Will you change your mind?
So when did you move from New York to Indiana? You're just born there.
I was born in New York, and I moved to Connecticut when I was 4. I lived there for a few years, and then Indiana when I was 8. And grew up in Southern Indiana, and then went to college at Western Kentucky University.
I really beg your pardon. What's in Southern Indiana? Where's Indianapolis?
Indianapolis is 3 hours north.
Okay. It's a smallish town, smallish city.
I grew up in a small town called Newburgh, which is about 15, 20 minutes from Evansville. But Newburgh, I think when I got there, was 1,000 people and like McDonald's. And we had a Druthers. It was a restaurant called Druthers. Uh-huh. I'd rather go to Druthers.
Ew, it's encouraging. It's encouraging.
I worked at McDonald's. I worked at the grocery store for 3 years. You know, it was a small, quaint little town, especially from New Yorkers coming from Connecticut, the East Coast to Indiana. It was a transition more for, I think, for my parents. But there's something really sweet about it. I grew up in a really weird town because a lot of people, I don't know, for some reason went to prison. There's murders, there's drugs. It's like the most obese city in the world a couple years back and like crazy stuff. But I remember just like playing street hockey and no one cared what time you were. You just went home when you wanted to and you caught fireflies and you jumped over fences and drank out of garden hoses and you know, everybody walked to the bus stop and, you know, you didn't have your parents going there with you and stop at the donut bank on their way and waste our lunch money on Donkey Kong and Pac-Man. And it was just simpler times. And I do, like, I feel bad, not to say the kids don't have great lives now, but like to sort of like be able to know where you're going with a map on your phone and being able to talk to, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff. It's a great thing. But at the same time, it's like that connection that I had back in the 80s as a little boy. You just can't duplicate that. And you can't, I don't think that is it's not present at all in today's world. And it's just sad because I'm like, God, I was lucky. I feel lucky. Even though I feel so disconnected because I'm not very good with technology. But I look and I'm like, God, these kids are always on their phones. Like I think if I was a parent that I'd say, hey, when we're having dinner, phones are in the middle. They don't leave. Even when I go to a restaurant, sometimes I go, everybody's phone in the middle. Whoever gets their phone pays for dinner. You know, to have some rules and just like, I remember like, do you swear on this show? I've already sworn, right?
100%, yeah.
But like, you know, saying
I
stuff.
I wish you would swear more. It bothers me.
You want me to swear more? Well, I'll say the word jerk off. Those are two words. But I remember when like, I didn't know what jerking off was. I didn't know what like, you know. I don't know what naked women look like, and kids can just boom on their phone. Got it. They could see anything they want.
Yeah.
What's a gonorrhea look like? You know,
how powerful is a gonorrhea in D&D?
How powerful is a gonorrhea? You know what though? It's like, it's crazy, but you know, hey, I'm going to the movies tonight. Okay, I'll meet you there at 7. And you just had to be there and hope they were going to come.
Yeah.
And there was something special about that.
Yes.
You know, you had to spend your time talking about a music video you saw. Like, oh, I was watching Night Tracks or...
But why talk about it when you can reenact it in your backyard?
Oh, well, that's true. Did you do that?
I might have.
Well, you're younger than I am. A lot younger.
I'm not that much younger. I mean, I was definitely like... I guess I didn't reenact videos. I guess I created new storylines for videos that like I really liked.
Did you made videos too?
I mean, I didn't have a camcorder or anything like that. It was just like be in my backyard and like a friend and wearing like whatever wasn't our normal clothes became very like the key to the video. It's like, oh, my dad has these old shorts. They're gonna be a big part of this video because we don't have like a dress up closet, you know. But I definitely remember doing like the one that springs to mind is my friend Allison and I did some sort of iteration of Girls Just Want to Have Fun, like the idea of that video. But it was set to a Huey Lewis song. It was like,
wait, what?
It didn't make any sense.
What do you mean?
It was like, I want a new drug is the song, but instead of enacting or reenacting that video, which I believe took place mostly on a speedboat.
So you were girls having fun to I want a new drug.
Correct.
One and one make you sick.
Yeah. It was like, oh, remember this video where this girl just like can't get along with her parents? One of us will be the mom, one of us will be the kid. But like, I love Huey Lewis more. So let's go ahead and act the same kind of story out, but it's just to this song instead.
I had a friend who slept with Huey Lewis.
Really?
I think it would have been cooler if she slept with the news.
But, all of them.
She did, and she said he was hung like a wolf.
Really?
Was that Duran Duran?
He
was hungry like a wolf.
Oh, yeah. Totally
no, but she
different.
Did. He said he had a large one.
Well, he urinates, and that was a big deal when he was in the movie Shortcuts, and I think he like whipped it out to pee. They may not have shown it, but
he whipped it out to pee.
Mm, like within the story, in the context of the story of Robert Altman's Shortcuts, he is out fishing with his friends, and I believe that he is peeing, and then he realizes he's peeing into a river, and there's a dead girl in the river. So he's like, oh shit, and like zips up.
They didn't show his wiener in that.
I don't think so, but I feel like the rumors were circulating back
like
then.
Huey was
like,
Yeah. But I remember her. The only thing I could think of is like, God, you had sex with Huey Lewis?
Well, at what stage in his career? Like, how
I think
old was she?
Huey was already past the drugs and the I Want a New Drug. This was 2018. No. This was probably, I'm going to say 2005.
Okay. Yeah, that's like playing wineries.
You know,
but nice wineries.
It's 20 years after his big. But I don't think that's bad. You know what? One time I was at a concert seeing Poison.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like 2002. And Bret Michaels asked if I want to come backstage, lead singer to Poison. So I was like, yeah, sure, man. He's like, yeah, you want to smoke a joint? I was like, sure. I was backstage and I go, dude, I have got to call my friend Kent in Evansville, Indiana and say, what's up and tell him.
Yeah.
So the phone rings and it rings and rings and finally goes, dude, it's 2 a.m. here, man. What's going on? Phone's just ringing. Good Lord, son. That's what he always says. I swear to God, he always goes, good Lord, son. And I said, dude, guess where I am? He goes, where? I go, I am at a Poison concert backstage with Bret Michaels, the lead singer. And there's a long beat. And he goes, dude, that would have been cool in 88. I got a job tomorrow. I'll talk to you later.
Oh, no.
And then Bret turns around. Hey, did you reach your buddy? No, I was busy. He's at Druthers, I think.
He would have lost his mind if I had gotten hold of
him. I thought he'd love it.
Yeah.
He was
over it.
Yeah. Whatever.
How was Bret in the early
great.
Aughts? He had like a show? Did he?
I remember Rock of Love
that,
where he slept with women after women.
Yeah,
that was a weird thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, he really didn't care. Talk about not caring what other people think.
Yeah.
Boy, I wish I had that.
Wait, who's the lead singer of Motley
Poison?
Crue?
Oh, that's the lead singer of Motley Crue. Oh, God, why are you doing this? I should know this.
I'm so sorry. I flipped him. I flipped him, I think.
Poison is Bret Michaels and Motley Crue. Well, who's the guy with the...
Because Tommy Lee.
Tommy Lee and everybody. Right now, people are listening.
I know.
Are you kidding me?
So angry.
You don't know Motley Crue?
You've lost 10 to 11 fans.
Vince Neil.
Yes. Because they were both like the blondes of the...
Yeah.
Maybe all of Poison was blonde. I don't know.
Dude, I remember I was with Tom Arnold at... I did this TV show that was the worst TV show in history. And it was me, Tom, Ed McMahon, a couple other people. And Tom's like, hey, buddy, we're going to go to the Havana Room, the Grand Havana Room. I don't know if it still exists, but it's in Beverly Hills. I'm like, all right, man. He's like, all right, buddy. And we go to this place, and Mel Gibson's there at the time. This is pre-drunk racist banter.
Yeah.
And, you know, he comes up to Taylor's like, how are you guys going to sit with you guys? He's like, Tom, what's up? He knew Tom. He didn't know me. I was like, and I remember Mel Gibson and I going back and forth with impressions.
Oh, nice.
You know, he was doing impression. I do impression. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then Vince Neil shows up. I'm like, what? I'm dreaming. What is this? And he was obliterated. Ew. He was so hammered. And he kept shooting these doubles, these triples of drinks. And it was the joke where it was like, how is he standing? So we always talked like if I, you know, if I ever got drunk or a friend, we would say you were either quarter Vince, uh-huh. you were either half Vinced, or you were Vinced.
That feels right.
You
that
know,
feels
because
right.
I mean, yeah. if you were a quarter Vince, you were hammered.
Yeah.
But half Vinced, how are you? And but full yeah. Vince, no one gets full Vince.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. He drank a lot at that time.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You just when you say that you're with Tom Arnold and you're going to the Havana Room, it just reminds me how many different Los Angeleses there are, or Beverly Hills, everywhere. But like, and even just within show business, like mm-hmm. the experience that you choose to have or have access to or can have or walk away from, there's so many different.
I think
like,
I think I've lived them all.
I mean,
I think I've lived them all. My favorite is the one I live now, which is, you know, I'm not a drinker. I'm not really I'm not a smoker. I don't really do drugs. I mean, occasional recreation. I went to Burning Man. I did a Molly like a couple of years back, but you know, I don't do Mollies every day. It was like a one-time thing. But like, I think I've experienced like, and that's part of finding yourself. I think now I finally am at the place where I'm doing art therapy on Friday nights, and I'm going to an occasional hockey game or the beach or a hike or game nights or barbecues, very, you know, a little more adult, where then I was just like, I want to be famous, you know, oh my God, recognize me, you know,
yeah.
girls, drugs.
Yeah. Well, how old were you when you started working?
I mean, I started, you know, out of college, I went to New York to do off Broadway, like way the like New Jersey Broadway.
Did you study theater in Kentucky?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And so I went to New York and I started doing voiceover
Don't
work.
Don't worry, I heard you say Jersey. I'm laughing now.
Yeah, that's Jersey Row. Yeah, uh-huh. whatever. I mean, you got to keep going if you say something. Either, yeah. You know, it's either, you know, you, either, you know, you're going to either go,
it.
Oh, or you're going to go, oh, maybe later in the episode, you're like, oh my God, when I listened to it, that was actually all right. Yeah. But what was I saying? You know, I live that life. I live that lifestyle where it's just like, you know, your friend picks you up at 10:30 on a Tuesday night. You hit some club and go to, and that's been like 15 years since I've done something like that.
Yeah.
And it was just, I didn't know, you know, I think it's like, I didn't know myself at all. I didn't know who I was. I don't know what life I was living. I was looking in the mirror going, who are you? Like yeah. literally, who the fuck are you? I don't even yeah. know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I was just kind of lost. It was like, all of a sudden you're getting, you know, it's a very tricky business. Like if you're not careful, like for approval and self-esteem, it could be huge. Cause you're like, oh my God, but those are dangerous things. And I have learned the hard way. You know, you have to have that stuff. You have to have like self-esteem, you have to have self-worth. And if you're looking for it through other people, then, and I think that's what a lot of people do. It's just kind of lost souls and they bury themselves in like alcohol and drugs and clubbing and partying. You know, I think everybody goes through a phase. And if you're going through a phase and you have a good head on your shoulders, and I did, thankfully, I think I was like, you know what? This isn't like, yeah. first of all, I can't hear anybody in these places.
Dude.
Secondly, I hate the music.
Yeah.
I mean, I just wish they'd turn on some Jim Croce.
Yeah.
Or some Steely Dan. Uh-huh. Maybe America,
yeah,
some 80s music,
yeah.
you know, Christopher Cross. I can keep going. Kenny Loggins. But, you know, and I went to these places thinking, oh, I'm going to find the one. I'm going to, you know, and you don't find the one there.
Yeah.
You're never going to find the one where, you know, some girl's in her high heels on a table
yeah.
slipping on, you know, acid or something, yeah. slipping, yeah. tripping on acid, slipping.
I don't know what's on the floor there. It yeah. could be that it's just sheets of acid everywhere. You're slipping around like nobody's business.
And she's not going to find the guy.
Yeah.
She's not going to go, oh yeah, that guy right there.
He's his best self here
in
this club.
Oh my God, how many beautiful people. I mean, that's yeah. the thing. I was just always looking around going, oh my God, everybody here is more beautiful than I am. I mean,
or
everyone's here is beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm not. Please. No, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just like you feel, it makes you feel worse.
Well, I was wondering, I mean, that's one of the things that is so hard, like the formula of being a younger person, like anywhere from 15 to even 25 for me, the idea of picking up that version of myself and dropping it into a business where, like, even just the hierarchy of who's more famous in a young group of people at a club feels to me like it just would have made me feel like garbage all the time. Like, oh, I'm on this show, but that's Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Or like, she's on that, but over there's Paris Hilton or whatever. Like, what a weird, like, way to value and then immediately for me find a way to like, fuck with myself and go like, I'm nothing. I'm not important.
Isn't that something like... comparing yourself with other people is one of the worst things you can.
It's like poison.
And we all have done
Not
it.
The
we
band.
All have it. No, it is. I honestly, we've all gone through that stage where it's like, oh my gosh, I wish I had that. I did. You know, it's your life can be so meaningful, and you could have so much purpose. And you know, by just doing the right things, by you know, not going to clubs, by going for a walk or a hike, or you know, donating. Like I'm telling you, this isn't something that I've known. I'm sharing stuff with you that I'm learning. Like,
yeah.
You know, altruism to me is like, is something that is really important to me to do something. There's this hockey player who said, his name is Mark Messier. I don't care if you like hockey, it doesn't matter. But he said something is like, you know, a real person, a real human being is how he is. He acts how he does when the cameras aren't rolling. And I feel like I've been, how many like sets you've been on, or you've been somewhere where cameras are rolling or B cam, or there's people around to see you and you're like, oh, there's a kid. Hey. Oh my God. Oh, look, Michael's so good with kids, you know? And it's like, they see me, they see that I'm good.
Right. Right.
Now it's really a great feeling when there's no fucking buddy around and you just do a good deed because you want to help somebody, or you just like want to make someone smile or happy. To me, that means more than anything. I get a kick out of, like, you know, I make it a mission if I ever go into a Burger King, which hasn't been recent, but you know, I will attempt to. But you know, somebody at the counter is just like not having a bad day. I will do whatever I can to make their day. I don't care what it is. I'm gonna go, I'm gonna make that person smile. I'm gonna have a moment with this person. I'm gonna take time out of my day just to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they might be like, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Who knows? But like, I just think that there's something cool about, you know, I was just driving by here and I saw some guy on the side just doing construction. I go, hey, afternoon, bud. How are you? I was like, pretty good, man.
Yeah.
It's just a connection. It's not like it was just two people going, hey, there's so much shit going on in the world that it's like, it's so easy to just be nice.
Absolutely.
So
I'm always shocked when somebody is, it doesn't surprise me when someone is sort of in neutral and it doesn't, you know, they're not super open or super friendly. But when someone is just outright unpleasant, I really walk away thinking like,
poor them.
I would, if those were my everyday interactions all the time, I would want to be dead. I mean, I just wouldn't, because those little moments are so key. Like they accumulate, they build up. That's your foundation, you know, to have those moments where you're like, I recognize you. I don't know you, but I recognize you. And like, you know, I would rather you walk away from an experience with me feeling better about your day than feeling worse about humanity, you know?
And I still, we're not perfect. I catch myself.
Well, of course.
I catch myself, like, you know, we all have days where, like, I'm a little crankier. I'm a little whatever.
Of course.
But, you know, it is easy to be nice. It's so much more energy and so much worse for you to be negative, to be, you know, hateful, to be, you know, I mean, you see it everywhere. I hate to... The cynicism and the shit that we live with today is just like, you know, and that's another thing. You didn't see it as much. I asked my dad, I said, hey, God, was it ever this bad? He's like, yeah, we didn't have all the TVs or the technology to see everything, or the iPhones where everybody could see everything that's going on.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, you have your Vietnam, you have a country split in half, you have, you know, all these different wars and different presidents and left wing and right wing, and now it's extreme this, extreme that. I think it's always been there. And it's like, you know, if there is a God, I always say, whether you believe in God or not, I always think, maybe he's just saying, look, they have a choice. I gave him this planet. If that's what you believe or not.
Right.
I created this beautiful planet, whatever. Big Bang Theory, I believe it, single cell, like,
yeah, you
know, evolution. Maybe we don't have to get into that. I'm just saying, like, I'm going to see if these people either come together and help each other and save this planet that I've given them, this beautiful ocean, these trees, and this, and these souls, and, you know, or are they going to destroy each other and destroy what I've given them and destroy this planet and end the world? Is this what they're going to do? And they have the choice to do that. Could it be just a game in a way?
Mm-hmm.
Could it be?
Listen, I feel like some people believe that aliens, everything that you just said except aliens, were alien experience or experiments, rather.
Did you not that, like, listen to Joe Rogan?
Isn't that what Prometheus kind of was about?
Sort of, but
listen, I lost the thread.
Way more convoluted.
I really lost the thread.
It's so convoluted. Anybody who says, oh my God, that was a brilliant movie. It was brilliant because maybe either A, you're incredibly smart or tons smarter than me, which is probable, or B, you're just full of shit. You just you love it because no one else does.
Yeah.
But one or the other. But like I think that there's a certain element to, you know, the thought of like, it's so easy to be nice. It's so easy to just be like, you know, my dad even says, well, yeah, what about, we have a, my half sister has like a chromosomal thing and she's like, she can't move. She's like, you know, she's like the oldest living human being, or not the oldest, but one of who has this disease called trisomy 13, I think it is. She's on my arm. I tattooed it on her. But, you know, and he's like, you know, if there's a God, would he have, you know, would he create this? And, you know, that's always the question, right? It's always the number one thing people go to. And again, I'm not a religious person. I don't go to church. I don't believe in a certain religion. I just have, like, I have faith. I yeah. believe in God. That's just me. You know, I have tons of friends who say they're atheists, and we, you know, we can talk about it. But I see, Dad, the only thing I could say is if everybody was perfect and nobody had disabilities and everybody was born healthy and then there wouldn't be such a thing called empathy, and there wouldn't be humanity because you wouldn't really need it because everybody's perfect, everybody's healthy, everybody, there's no sick, we don't have to raise money, we don't have to be philanthropic and altruistic. And so I don't know the answer to it, and I'm not saying that, but maybe, you know, because then we wouldn't even know those words, and those words are the sort of the reason for life. Yeah. To have empathy, to care about other people, to have humanity, to show humanity. And so, I mean, there's no answer for it, because you can't talk to a man who has a child that has that and say, oh, well, I have the answers, because I don't.
Right.
I don't know anything about religion.
And you don't know, to your point, you don't know if that man is going to say, I, you know what, I believe God has a plan, or I believe the universe has a plan, and you know, this doesn't, like, like seeing someone I love go through this does not make me, I've chosen not to be angry at something. You know yeah. what I mean? I've chosen to have a different relationship to that. And, yeah. and, but that's, you know, my dad said the exact same thing when I was growing up, was like, you know, that's a really, especially if you are still, I do feel like my dad has a certain spirituality to him, sure. but he absolutely is like, time and again, when he sees a friend die of cancer, or he sees any other number of horrible things happen to people, he's like, he'll absolutely say, like, and this is why I don't believe in God. Why would I want to believe in somebody who would let all of this happen? You know? And I'm like, I totally get that.
Yeah.
You can never have a conversation with a person of faith, because they will say, I get that, but you're oversimplifying it, and I can't ever get you to change your mind, because you're coming from a place of, I would hate that thing or that yeah. person. And if you're not, you know, if you just have a different outlook on the way the world works, those are just, they're, those things are never going to mesh. Like, I don't think you yeah. can convert one to the other if it's, and that, if you fiercely believe that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I agree. And I think that's sort of like, in a way, it's with the whole left wing and right wing, it's like, there's no way to talk. There's no way to reason with either side. Like, I'll sit here and say, you know, I'm not coming from a liberal side. I'm coming from someone who kind of like listens to both sides and goes, you know, but sometimes I'm like, fuck, man, CNN. As much as I'm like, fuck Fox, they're just like so right. It's like, are you kidding? Right wing. And then I turn to CNN and I'm like, some of these people who are talking are like so left. It's like, if I'm watching this as a Republican, I'm like, fuck these guys. And if I'm as a liberal watching Fox, I'm like, why can't there be something in the middle that's just like, you know, I guess like an NPR or a, you know, but it's the same thing. It's like, how could you come halfway? How could you meet me halfway? How could, you know, like, hey, Joe, my friend Joe, you're an atheist. And, you know, I believe in God, but, you know, are you sure you're an atheist? He's like, are you sure you believe in God? I'm like, well, you know, I think for me, it's just like a feeling. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because shit happens. A lot of bad shit's happened to me. I've seen a lot of awful shit, and I could easily say, oh, you know, there's something. There's also those people who say, I believe in God because they want to go to heaven.
Right.
And that's the only reason. Instead right. of actually feeling and going logically, could there be a, well, you know, it hasn't been discounted. I mean, there, you know, scientists can't say there's not a God. But my thought is always like, well, how, you know, you can't create something from nothing. Right? It's as simple as that. You just can't. It's like, well, Big Bang Theory. I'm like, I believe it. Of course, the Big Bang Theory happens 4 billion years ago. That happened. 4. Whatever. Okay.
But what caused that?
What caused that? But then if you really want to get scientific, if you really want to like look at me and go, okay, who did that? Okay, let's say God did that. Let's say God created the Big Bang Theory and aliens and everything, right? I'm like, okay, who created God? You can't create something from nothing. Ring, Adam Sandler. So I don't know. All I can tell you is that I just have this belief that, you know, this I guess it's a feeling. It's like maybe it's just that inside of me, that feeling of like hope and goodness and, you know, faith that, like, you know, you look at some animals and some fish and certain things in the world and you're like, that is just too, look how we like, look at the, you know, how a woman gives birth and the process. It's just like how all these things work to each, everything works. Every creature, everything is doing their own thing. It's just by happenstance, it just seems really difficult for me to comprehend. That's the only reason I felt like, you know, I'm definitely not atheist. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
By the way, do you get so serious on this thing?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I shouldn't be funnier?
Oh, no.
Because I, you know, I could.
No. Yeah, well, you know what?
Because I can't.
Let's go back and record over this. I'm going to record over this.
God, let me tell you. Hey, it's God.
Well, I want to.
I'm Harry Carey here.
I do want to ask you, because you were, before we kind of got really, truly into the kind of idea of the spirituality and God, with some of the other stuff we were talking about, you said you felt like you were coming into it late. Is that, what did you feel, like when you were a teenager, did you have a sense of there's a God? Did you go to a temple? You mentioned that you were Jewish. Like, did you observe? Did your family observe? Or did you not think about it one way or the other and then come to this kind of idea of feeling, you know, like there's something later?
Look, I don't, you know, I was bar mitzvahed, but my grandfather taught me how, I read it phonetically. So when I said, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam, I read it like in English, like the sounds, yeah. Baruch, B-A-H-R-U-C-K, Baruch, C-H. And I just, that's how I learned it. And then everybody gave me some money at my bar mitzvah, and it was kind of like nerve wracking. And then I did it, and then, oh, mazel tov, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Then we went to Indiana, and there was like one temple. My dad didn't like the rabbi, and then religion's done.
Yeah.
And I never went into so sometimes I go to church with some friends. Like, Rosenbaum, if Michael Rosenbaum's spending the night here at this house, he's going to church with us.
Right.
Hey, you want to go to church? I'm like, I don't give a shit. Aren't you a Jew? I'm like, I don't care. I'm not, I don't even know anything about being a Jew. I don't know anything about being a Christian. All I know is it's like, I'll go to church.
Yeah.
Just please don't have them ask. My fear was always that the pastor's going to go, we have a guest here. Who are you? Michael Rosenbaum? It's Baum. Michael Rosenbaum, Jew boy. From, hey, tell us, what was God saying in Psalms 4? I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know anything about religion. If you, like, you know, you know, if you ask me, like, you know, God's disciples, I go, oh, yeah, Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Right.
Right? Aren't those that they sang? And, like, yeah. No, I don't know anything, but all I do, I'm telling you, mine is strictly comes from, like, observing my friends who are Mormon, Christian, Jewish, Muslim. I swear to God, I have friends that are everything.
Yeah.
And I listen to it all. And I go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? How about you? It's so easy. It's like, who gives a shit what you believe? Believe what you want to believe. Just don't tell anybody else how to what to believe
wrong,
in.
Or that, yeah.
No. And so what I hate is when people are like, if you don't believe this, you're going to die. Or you're going to, the extreme shit is just like.
But also, it's hard to hear somebody like, you see like someone like Bill Maher, who is so contemptuous of people.
By the way, it pisses me off.
It's hard. That's
it pisses
hard
me off.
To.
I got
to
tell you, because my mom talks about how much she loves Bill Maher and she met him. And I love, I go, you know what? He is the opposite of someone who is saying, God, if you don't find God, you're going to die. He's exactly the same, but on the other, he's the right to the left. He's completely like, oh, and these people who believe in God, let me tell you about God and his big beard. I'm like, you know what? You're a dick. You're disrespecting everybody who believes in religion, so fuck off.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about Bill Maher. Like, I don't hate him. I think he's funny, but if he just is like, I just think he gets so, there's so much disdain. There's so much like, I don't know what happened to cause that. And like, it's like, anyway, but for me, religion was always like, we just didn't really talk about it. You know, I remember horror movies. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep and if I die. Oh, that was Metallica too.
Nice and creepy to drop in the Lord's Prayer.
And I would say
it.
And I always felt like, you know what? Gee, man, I'd like to go to heaven. Or, you know, wow, it feels good to say something nice. Or it feels nice to have faith in something, you know, just to go to bed at night and close your eyes and say, hey, I'm grateful for this. And, you know, thank God, or thank whoever you want to thank. I don't care who you thank.
Right.
It's just nice to have that sort of mentality. And my parents never pushed religion on me. In fact, you know, if it was anybody who made the most Jew jokes, it was me. Always, you know, my dad was like, hey, come on, you're a Jew. I'm like, not really. I am, but I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, that's on you, Dad.
Yeah. My grandfather always would say, it wasn't making fun of Jews, but like we, there in upstate New York where they have this like little place, the Catskills, I'd take my grandparents in this little rowboat. And it was actually an inflatable raft.
Great.
And I would row them out. Rosenbaum. and I would do this and they'd be there, you know, we'd be all talking. My grandmother would bring like a little picnic in the thing. We were about to sink at any minute. And across the way, there was all these Hasidic Jews. And every time we went out, I go, hey, Irv, to my grandfather, you see him? And he go, Hasidim.
Oh my God.
Come on. You see him? And you know what? To this day, he's got Alzheimer's. And the guy is 93 years old. He's like my best friend in the world. And it's been really hard. And my grandmother, myself, the family.
Yeah.
And even now, like with his Alzheimer's, they just put him in a memory facility. And I was FaceTiming the other day. I go, Irv. He goes, what? I go, there's two things he remembers. One, you see him? Hasidim. He remembers that. And the other thing he remembers is I always used to play this game when he had his mind. Like he just got so upset. But the whole family would be around. I say, Irv. If you had to sleep with one of Blanche's friends, what are we doing here? If you had to sleep with either Lorraine Beckenstein or you had to sleep with Audrey or Gugu, her friends, who would it be? And my family's all laughing. He's like, I don't want to do this game. This is nonsense. I want a gun. Can I have a gun? Can I shoot my... No, Irv, you cannot shoot yourself. You must sleep with Blanche's friend. And by this time, my grandmother's kind of laughing. And then my grandma goes, you like Gugu. What's the matter with me? He's like, what? And it's just like this aunt. So he does also remember that. Even like I said that, I go, hey, if you had to sleep with one of Blanche's friends, she goes, what are we doing? Like there's still that like essence of him that I'm hanging on to.
Yeah. But
anyway, I was never religious. You know, I think it all comes from just... I think it's a feeling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's such a good feeling. A feeling to... Who is that?
I don't know.
It's Mr. Rogers.
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, how could I not know that?
How could you not know that?
You really embodied it so much that I thought maybe it was just you.
Won't you be my neighbor?
I haven't seen that movie. Have you seen that movie?
No, but I did see that.
People
are going
to tell me I cry, too. I cry very easily.
I didn't cry. I liked it. I think I teared up. But the Tom Hanks movie is coming out. Where he plays Mr. Rogers.
I mean, I don't. I gotta see the documentary before.
Yeah,
I see
it's
that,
really good.
Surely.
It's good.
I cried. It just doesn't matter.
I you know,
drop of a hat. I'm like, oh, that boar hat. Someone dropped the hat. It's so sad.
I cried at Wilson. Remember what was the movie?
Oh, please.
What was it called?
I had to walk away from the movie.
Wilson.
Oh,
sorry,
God.
Wilson.
I was not. Well,
how does
I was,
a
like,
man
shuddering with sobs?
How does a man make you cry crying to a volleyball?
Oh my God.
And he did.
Absolutely.
You got me. Tom Hanks for an hour and a half with nobody else on an island.
Yeah.
Got me.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That one, and then people know this is a weak point of mine.
What?
When Christopher Lloyd dips that single shoe in Who Framed Roger Rabbit? He dips a shoe into the dip to show everyone that it kills cartoons. So he just picks some random, innocent shoe, just picks it up. The shoe is excited to be picked up. The shoe is a sweet little cartoon. So he's like, hey, we're going to be friends. Doesn't talk, but it's like smiling like, I'm a bouncy shoe.
And he kills him.
And then he just lowers the shoe into the dip. And as the shoe is melting into the dip, the shoe looks up at Christopher Lloyd like, why? Like, you just in his eyes, he's like, why is this happening to me? And then he's gone.
Oh my God. I saw you get a little emotional. Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, I could see it. It got you. Yeah, I don't like that. Was that supposed to be a funny thing in the movie?
No, it was definitely supposed to be like, oh, this guy's a monster.
Yeah, that's a monster.
It
that's not a, a redeeming quality at all.
It was very effective. Yeah. Were you like a big TV kid? Do you have shows that you had to like get home to see and stuff?
Well, it's
like,
funny.
Oh, we're going to the movies. Like you said, going to the movies at 7. That's a big deal.
I mean, look, for some reason, I liked black shows. I loved Sanford and Son. I loved... Good Times. Those are the shows I love. Different Strokes. I also loved All in the Family because he was like this idiot sort of, you know,
yeah,
guy who just was, he just was ignorant, but I don't think he was really racist. He just was not very bright, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, we did that, you know?
Yeah.
I love that. I love, I just remember watching, like, what was that? I bet we've been together for a million years.
Oh, was that Family Ties?
Yes.
Yeah.
Love Family Ties. What else? I remember you said Christopher Lloyd, Taxi. I like Taxi. I like the theme. The theme makes me cry. Can you play the theme song of Taxi, or you can't play that? Because
I don't know. I think you can play up to like something seconds of anything before you get into a ton of trouble.
But Taxi, that theme was so emotional.
Yeah.
It just made me think of New York. All right,
what's
ready?
That one like? Is that Oh, you're going to play it? Oh, please. It starts out with a little penny whistle. What are you going to do? Or a flute. Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe that's the theme to Taxi, now that I'm thinking about it. That's like highly emotional.
It is.
Music.
And you see a taxi going over the George Washington Bridge.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, at that time, my grandparents and a lot of family were alive still. So, and I remember Christopher Lloyd, there was this, I think it's probably the most hysterical moment. And in fact, I asked him this when I met him. I met him at one of those conventions.
Sure.
And I asked them about it. But there's a scene where Jim, and he's not really a bright guy, Jim, and he goes to take his driving test. And everybody goes with him, you know, to help him. And he's sitting there, and he looks up, and he has this thing when he talks. And they're looking at him there for help, all the other guys, taxi drivers. And he goes, "What do you do with a yellow light?" And the guys are like, "Slow down." And he goes, "What do you do at a yellow light?" And they go, "Jim, slow down. What do you do at a yellow?" And it goes on.
Yeah. You know what that's
like
called?
A minute and a half.
That's called James L. Brooks. Is the master of Taxi, and that's called early Simpsons joke, right? Because that's what the Simpsons was gorgeous at.
Oh, they
it was
did
like,
that?
We'll take something to the end of it being funny, and then we will continue doing it, and then it will come back around to being hilarious.
And by the end,
just
he's
the
like,
bravery of like,
what? It just kills me. Watch it, you guys. Trust me. Watch Taxi, Jim at the driving. It is really great. It holds up.
I saw it happen. I mean, listen. Obviously, I do a great Christopher Lloyd. Were you?
I don't do a Christopher Lloyd.
But you just did.
Well, I tried.
To me, obviously, you did one. It was obvious that you did a great one. When did you start? Like, did you like? Were you? Because that's a very specific thing, right? People, the friends of ours that do like solid impressions. Did it start? Like, does it start out as like, oh, I'm just like without even thinking about it. Like, you don't even know that you're good at it. You just sort of are telling a story like that.
Yeah.
Even when you're younger and going like, and then you know, Homer's like, "Wait, mate," and then you're like, "Wait,
hey, that was kind of good." I can't,
you know what I mean?
That.
Like,
I think for me it was just like I honestly was a dork in high school, and I spent the weekends up, like, borrowing my parents' VCR to dub.
Yeah.
They called duplicate movies that I'd rented and put a piece of tape over it so it would let it dub,
yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Watching movies and watching trailers and listening and watching and not going. And I had, I guess, a good ear, because I think the first time was like Saturday Night Live, and I had to watch my brother at home, and I'd watch SNL. My parents would come home, and all of a sudden I'd do Fernando. Like, my daddy always told me, he said, "Fernando, don't be a schnook. It's not how you feel. It's how you look. He look absolutely marvelous." And I would do this old impression. Like, you guys probably wouldn't know it now. But then my parents were like, and I noticed, like, it was the only way to make my dad laugh. He wouldn't, I started making people laugh doing impressions. Like, I was doing Harry Carey before, the announcer for the Cubs.
Yeah.
I was doing that, like, in the 80s going, "There's a ground ball the way to say over to Durham. Hey, you ever open a box of Cracker Jacks? This has got to be the most asinine thing in the world for a child of humble origins to open up a box of Cracker Jacks and there's no prize inside. Hey, check out the guy in the sombrero." And then, I would always hear Harry Carey. And then walking, I remember, I was with Kevin Spacey. I was doing a movie with him, and he and I would do back to, we were the first one. I'm telling you, we were the first ones doing Spacey.
Kevin Pollak was an early adopter.
Yeah, I was doing a long time ago with.
What do I know?
But yeah, but we would always sit there and go, "This is great." Your son, I remember watching this True Romance. He has that scene, your son, fuckhead that he is, and that bitch or girlfriend. He took my narcotics. Now, I know you know where they are, so tell me. So I would remember that. I remember watching, you know, in class, like watching, I know it's not good, I'm a Jew, but I could say it. I was watching, we had to do a dialects class, take it for acting. And so we had to do like German, like a German accent. So I remember watching Ray Fiennes in Schindler's List. And I watched it like over and over. And I sort of did a monologue that he gives, which is kind of distasteful, but he's like, you know, they cast a spell on you. You know, the Jews, when you work with them, you see this. They have this power. And I would do this, you know, whole, and I would just learn like I was speaking German, you know, and I would watch things. And I, you know, yeah, it wasn't a good idea to do that speech. People were like, why is he talking about that? And, but like, I would just always listen to stuff. I remember the Academy Award, they showed a clip from In the Line of Fire with John Malkovich. And I remember memorizing it for some reason. Everybody was at it. I was in college going, no, what you could, I remember Clint Eastwood, and I asked him this because I met him. And because I did in Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, and I did this movie, and I go, hey, you know in the movie In the Line of Fire? He goes, yeah, I remember. I was in it. I go, you know when, you know, you say that line, you have a rendezvous with my asshole, motherfucker. did you improvise that? He goes, well, I might have ad-libbed a little, yeah. And, but I remember watching John Malkovich and goes, no, you couldn't possibly know. And I was like, I think I can do this.
Oh,
I
my
think
God. If I That's just a good one.
Do this, like if he talks like this. No, you listen to me. And I,
yeah.
And then Spacey.
I've never heard anyone do Malkovich.
I do it for Dax Shepard. That's loves great. That. Name drop. Dax loves it.
Yeah.
And I do, I did Spacey to Spacey. I go, no, do me a favor, will you? Go to this place on Sunset. And while you're there, pick me up some of that juicy fruit. Or whatever. I said something.
Yeah.
I go, no, God damn it, listen to me. And he goes, what are you doing? And I go, I'm doing you. He goes, I don't talk like that. And I just would fuck with him like that. But that's how I sort of, I just like Buffalo Bill, you know, I'd watch the movie and I'd go, hey, you're about a size 13. You know, you don't know what pressure, you don't know what pain is. And I would just do that whole thing.
Yeah.
You know? And I would just, I think when someone was like, oh my God, listen to this, I wanted to do more.
Yeah.
People liked it. It's entertaining. It's always, it's also a coping skill. I think, you know, if I don't want to be me, if I just am, because my whole life, I think, has been just not trying to be me being someone else, you know, which we can get to that briefly. But, I always felt like if I do impressions, they'll leave me alone. They'll just be happy with that guy.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, I think that's the reason I did it. Once I started, I go, wow, okay, they think I'm good at this. So I'll do this. I'll make everybody laugh and then they'll want me around.
Yeah. I didn't know, but I didn't, I that's not something that I would I know that? Like,
what?
This is a weird thing to
that
say.
They'd want
like,
me around?
No, would I know that, are fans of yours going like, Janet, how did you not know already that you're like, does brilliant impressions? Is this
everyone
knows?
I think people ask me sometimes about impressions, you know, and I just like, you know, I just do them. Even if I can't do them, I'm like, you know, I always think of Owen Wilson, you know, I say, oh, this is great. You know, it's like great podcast you got here. It's like,
yeah, I like to try to do Owen Wilson.
You can really do it. It's like,
yeah, man. Wow.
Well, you have a really sweet house. Yeah. Like, I like how you do it yourself.
Yeah,
too.
Nice.
It's
like,
you know, so it's just like, you could just like try things. You get better at them. But,
that's the thing. As I don't have there's no drive in me to get better.
Who do you
like,
want to do? You want to do one? I'm going to help you do it.
Yeah. I mean, you can sure.
Try walking. It's just easy because. It's the back of your throat.
Yeah,
like, I want you to say, your son.
Your son.
Your son.
Your son.
That's pretty good. A little late, more laid back with it. Your son.
Your son.
Fuckhead.
Fuckhead.
That he is.
That he is.
It's good. It's like zombie meets walking, like a zombie meets walking.
Yeah.
But you could do it like, but you're doing a man. So if you could like think of a woman's voice, a female's voice that you could do. I mean, if you could do a man's voice, that's an incredible talent. It'd be incredible if I could do a female's voice, right? But if you could listen to your favorite, someone who has a distinct voice that you could really go, they'll know who that is. Like my friend Sherry O'Terry did, what's her name? Barbara Walters.
Yeah.
Hi. The Baba Waba, and she was awesome.
Yeah.
So I think you could do it because you got the improv thing. You're funny. So
whenever I had auditioned for stuff like Mad TV or I never auditioned for SNL. Whenever I'd auditioned for something that was LA based because I was afraid to move to New York,
that's, they would always say, like, you know, three original characters and three impressions. And it would always, I had nothing to fall back on. I would be like, well, I need to start from scratch. Like, you know, I don't, this is not something I ever think about until it's asked of me. Yeah, and then I would sort of work on something that was pretty good for, you know, what I was auditioning for. And then I would promptly completely forget. Like, I remember doing, like, I think I did like Kim Cattrall and like Heidi Klum and someone else.
Their voices sound like.
I couldn't tell you either. I just somehow, I was like, what do I, maybe Reese Witherspoon, because she's sort of like when she's
obscure,
in her most
southern.
That could
southern. Be cool. You could probably, let me hear the Reese Witherspoon.
God, see, I don't know. I would have
you
to do like.
If you just said, I don't get it. Is that kind of a southern thing?
Well, yeah, because she gets real down in here when she gets like self-righteous about something.
Yeah.
Like she sort of lives in that place, you know.
By the way, you kind of look like her when you did that.
Yeah,
your
well,
face
I think
kinda...
I picked people that I was like, okay, how could
I'm
I pass
blind,
for this person?
Do that. People would kind yeah. of buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it was just sort of like, you know, need attention, need approval. I guess that will do it for me. Because it all started from high school. I remember I finally did a play, and I remember this popular kid goes, because I was the shortest kid in my high school, and he goes, you were funny in that play. And he walked away, and I go, well, I guess I'll keep doing that because now my approval's up here, my self-esteem's
sure,
up here,
sure.
And that's, but you know, the unfortunate thing about that is if you're living
right
for approval, it kind of gets, you kind of get lost. You're like, why don't I feel any? I think that was a problem of mine. I was like, I feel like I'm charitable and I feel like I'm a good person and I help my friends. I don't know. I feel like I don't feel it mm-hmm. like I should. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with self-worth and loving yourself and being compassionate to yourself. And when you can start, like, I'm just starting to be like, hey, dude, you're you and you're a good dude. Even if you say it in the mirror, you're like, I love you, dude. You're good.
Yeah.
You know, it's so stupid to say, but like, I'm just like,
no, it's that there's a reason that that stuff works. And that's
it
what,
really,
that's,
it really
as I
does.
Got older, that was another thing. It was like, oh, I don't have to be snarky about every single thing
no,
that
it's insecurity.
Is
it's,
about
yeah.
self-love. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, wait, I can sort of embrace that. My friend Paul, does one where he says, just to himself, whether he's looking in a mirror or not. And I'm sure I've said this on the podcast before, but he says, I do enough. I have enough. I am enough. Which is like, yeah. Which when you think about it, you're like, oh, those are the things that we all think. I don't have enough. I don't do enough. I don't do enough. I should be doing more. And I'm not, who am I? I'm not enough. God, no, I'm not even close. Like I'm garbage. And like those three,
I
really, I am enough.
By the way, you know what that is?
Not nice.
That's the guy from Saturday Night Live. I'm smart enough and Dosh gone. People like me.
Yeah, I think he probably, I think it was, I think
it
was taken, I think, yeah, he adapted from something real that actually sort of does the trick.
Do you know there's like a science, there's a science to gratitude, to being grateful.
100%. And it's the same with religion, art therapy, all of those things that are this sort of like, repetitive calming. It's like action meditation, right? It's like action. It's like you don't, yes, there's a stillness, and that's the kind of the meditation we all think of, but you can meditate. That's why people love to fish, or people, you know, you can meditate. I love like pick it up. There's a tons of river stones in my yard, and
I love river
whenever
stones.
I like really am just like frizzling out, I love, I mean, it's so literal, it's like Buddhist monk cartoonish. But I love just taking, like, I'll pull all of the rocks out and pull all of the, like, dead leaves and twigs and this and that and, like, kind of clean off the rocks and put them back. And I can do that for, like, 8 hours because
I think I see, like,
it's
8 minutes.
Just this repetitive. I mean, I could do it for a day.
Yeah.
It's just this repetitive motion and, like, there's a result in the end and it's so basic. But there's something about that that just totally... just kind of pulls out all the anxiety. And I never knew that. It was not, it was like something I went to, not like, hey, I got an idea. This will make me feel better. I think I came to it like, ugh, I'm so, even this, like, look, there's a bunch of dog hair on the rocks and like, ugh, I got to get, you know what I mean? Like spinning out and being like, I got to control something, right? I got to clean something up.
Yeah.
And then sort of, and then doing that and realizing like, oh, my blood pressure is, oh,
isn't that amazing how you get calm?
I actually, you know?
And there's, yeah, and I think just saying like being grateful, just say, you know, before I go to bed every night, I think of like, I try to think of things that I'm just really grateful for. And, you know, it does, because I have horrible, like weird nightmares, kind of have my whole life. And I sort of getting, I get anxiety, not sort of, I get anxiety when I wake up. I feel like I have anxiety, like from the dreams are so vivid and so like intense, and I feel like I'm living in them. And
yeah, it sucks to wake up feeling exhausted.
But now I'm like, all right, let's be good to yourself. This is what happens, but we know it's going to go away. So we're going to sit here. We're going to get up for a second immediately. We're not going to think about it. We're going to get some water. We're going to take a piss, and then we're going to meditate for a while, and it's going to go away.
Yeah.
And even in my mind, I'm like, oh, we're probably on minute 18 and I could feel it going away.
Yeah.
And then I go, okay, now you're going to wake up and you're going to go walk the dogs and you're not going to get on your fucking phone. You're going to walk your dogs, you're going to make them breakfast, you're going to make you breakfast, and then you can look at your phone. Because that's what we're going to do now.
Yeah.
We're going to connect before we disconnect.
Yeah.
Or we're going to connect before we connect.
Yeah. Well, that's like that. It's that feeling of, you know, your brain thinks it's running everything. You know, you're like, oh, wait, who am I? Oh, I must be my brain. So my brain has decided to be anxious. So I guess I'm anxious because that's what's on the agenda.
Yep.
And you're like, wait, what if I separate myself from that and go, no. Now I'm in charge. We're not going to do that. You know, we're going to do this instead.
Yeah, my therapist says that's, you know, you're whoever that is, the voice in your head, name the person. This really helped me. Mine was Mosley. Mine's Mosley is somebody who picked on me in eighth grade. But Mosley is just like, you know, when I'm like doing something and I feel the anxiety come, I go, hey, Mosley, guess who's driving, bro? It's me. So get the fuck back there. Yeah. You're not good enough. You're not a good artist. You're drawing. You suck. Yeah. Guess what? I don't care, man. I'm going to keep drawing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be as horrible as I can. I don't care.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Mosley.
Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
Welcome back to Fireside Chat on KMAX. With me in studio to take your calls is the dopest duo on the West Coast, Oliver Wong and Morgan Rhodes. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm looking for a music podcast that's insightful and thoughtful, but like also helps me discover artists and albums that I've never heard of.
Yeah, man. Sounds like you need to listen to Heat Rocks. Every week, myself and I'm Morgan Rhodes and my co-host here, Oliver Wong, talk to influential guests about a canonical album that has changed their lives.
Guests like Moby, Open Mike Eagle, talk about albums by Prince, Joni Mitchell, and so much more.
Yo, what's that show called again?
Heat Rocks, deep dives into hot records.
Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
I got to get into this MASH game with you.
Yeah,
I can't believe how long we've talked. This has been a pleasure and a joy.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Except I mean it.
Oh, by the way, can I plug the podcast?
Of course. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
do it.
Absolutely, 100%.
Does it sound like I'm plugging it now since I said that?
No, but listen, we baited everyone and we sort of wet everyone's whistle with Sullivan. We talked about it with him, and he gave us sort of his version of a snapshot of it. Why don't you talk about it?
You know,
in love
with Michael Rosenbaum, Chris Sullivan, and Chris Sullivan. He's just an amazing human being. I had him on my podcast, which is Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum, and I just adored him so much that I was like, he just makes me want to be a better human being. I just want to be a better person. He introduced me to the grateful thing where he would like text me every morning, go, hey, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for my wife. I'm grateful for this. And me and my engineer and I we'd text back. I'm grateful. And at first it was kind of like, oh God, what's going on? What am I doing with my life? And then I was like, wow, this is really sweet. This is really nice. This is like starting out my day saying, hey, I'm grateful for this. And I just loved Chris, and I said, hey, man, why don't we do a podcast? He's like, okay. So he came over, and we thought about what it would be, and we're like, you know, there's so much negativity and shit in the world, like what we're in love with, what we're grateful for, you know, like single. I'm single. He's married. We have my engineer's a trans woman. My assistant was on there talking about me, why I'm single, and my ex-girlfriend came on with her kid talking about why it didn't work, and his wife is, you know, and coming on, and you know, like Seth Green and his wife and Chrissy Metz from This Is Us, just like a bunch of great guests. And we just like, we have a hotline. People can call in and say, hey, Sully, Rosie, I can't get boners. And I'm like, well, dude, get boner pills. It's pretty easy. I mean, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm the single approach and he's the married approach and we have everything in between. So it's just a joy to do. And we're doing it for fun, but we're, I think we really like it.
Yeah.
You know,
it sure sounded like it, what he was talking about. And he made me excited to do it. And I mean, not made me. I actually love doing podcasts.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's in love and it's going to be on Mondays. And I think we start airing on the 26th or 25th or something.
Yeah, I wanted to drop your episode. That's really professional talk. I wanted to drop your episode right around when the podcast is available so that people can just, you know, go right over, search for it on their whatever app
you.
They use. And subscribe. Okay, let's get to the Smash game.
Let's do it.
The first one I'm going to give you is three people that you already know you can do an impression of that you have not met that you get to work with on a film.
That I'd like to get to work with?
Yeah, it's very
specific.
Three
people that I haven't... That you have done it,
that you know that they're sort of in
Malkovich,
your...
I'd love to do a movie with Malkovich. John Malkovich. Yeah, I'd love... You know, and be like, no, you're going to do a movie with me, Frank.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I'm very excited.
The other one would
Malkovich.
Be probably... I've never done... I would do a movie with... Let's see. I mean, Owen Wilson, probably. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool. Oh, this is great. It's like, my nose is really crooked. You get a great straight nose.
Yeah.
That'd be neat. And who would be the other one? Who's someone who's alive that I did an impression of? I worked with Spacey. I worked with Walken. They could be dead. Oh,
yeah,
you didn't say that. Oh, Chris
universe.
Farley.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh my God, that's an amazing story. I did this interview on A&E and about Chris Farley because he was my hero, and I just remember the day I was doing this crappy show with Tom Arnold, and he walks into the studio, and everybody's laughing, but I don't know he's there, and I go, they can't be laughing at my lines. My lines aren't that funny. And I look over and Chris Farley's walking in. He's like, all right, how are you? Talking to everybody in the audience. And I go, oh my God, my idol's here. I have to do something. I have to say something. And I go, hey, everybody, look, it's the big fat guy taking all the attention away from the skinny punk. You know, who doesn't even have a career? And he goes, that's it. And he runs over me, picks me up over his shoulder, smacks me in the ass, runs through the audience. And I have pictures of it. And he's,
God,
yeah, it was legendary.
Amazing.
So Chris Farley.
Oh,
I would have said Dudley Moore. Can we change Dudley Moore?
Yeah, yeah.
Change Dudley Moore with Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Don't you hate Perry's Wife? Didn't you ever see the movie Arthur?
Yeah.
I love it. Okay.
I was obsessed with the movie 10 because I saw it when I was too young.
He's
and
so
I was
cute.
Like, oh my God, it's super funny. And there's boobs. Like, how did I get so lucky?
There's boobs? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I
what's going on?
That.
Someone's looking at someone through a telescope and they're naked. This is hot stuff.
My first vagina was, I was with my grandma and we were watching.
That does not a story.
No,
that
it's not a good start.
Well.
It's not a good start to a story. I'll tell you that. We were watching Private Benjamin in the theater and there's a shot in the where they're taking showers. And I'm like, what's
happening right now?
What's the hairy thing?
Yeah.
There's nothing dangling from it. It's not a wiener.
I'm so glad your first sighting of a... We probably didn't see the actual vagina. We're probably talking about the exterior, but...
Yes, you're right.
Were you like, oh, I'm with my grandma?
I think she took my hand and we went to the next theater, I think, which was playing Flash Gordon.
Oh, so it's like enough of
this. She's like, okay, not Veej. Not Veej for my grandson.
That's amazing. Okay, next category, three places in the world that you would like to have a vacation home. And that doesn't mean it has to be sitting on a beach. If you like to vacation by seeing a new city or, you know.
City or country? It has to be country.
Yeah, anything you want.
Three cities? I'd love to have a place in Australia. I love Melbourne. Melbourne.
Yeah.
Melbourne.
That was one of those places where
I love it.
When I touched down and came out, I lived in San Francisco for many years, and I definitely came out going like, this is like, I flew really far away. I was on the plane for a very long time. Kind of feel like I'm in San Francisco. I mean,
right?
I loved it. It was wonderful.
I know, but you can go down to Byron Bay and there's a lot of cool things. It's so laid back. I feel like it still feels like America, but like cooler.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know, cooler. I liked it.
Yeah.
I would say the other one would be probably, I haven't been to Italy, but I have a feeling it'd be really cool, but I'm not that classy. So I don't know if Italy would be, I would have to say somewhere, honestly, the Midwestern thing, maybe Austin. I haven't been to Austin, but I really hear I'll like it.
Yeah, I think you will like it.
You know, and maybe somewhere, what's sort of exotic, we can go somewhere. Maybe a nice place in Hawaii.
Tropical.
Huh?
Sure.
So let's go, not Oahu, what's the other one? Kauai.
Kauai, great.
And a little house in Kauai.
Yes. Beautiful. Okay. Next category, we're going to do three films that you can jump into. You're not in it, you're not acting in it. It's not a film. It's the world of that movie. You can jump into it
Days
and just
Confused.
Be in it. Right?
I love to be in Days Confused. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, dude, with a bullet. Absolutely.
And Slapshot. It's a hockey movie.
Oh, I know Slapshot. Isn't that Paul Newman?
Yeah.
Great. Great, great,
They
great.
Brought their fucking toys with them. Reminds me, Reg, I was coaching back in Omaha in 1948. Eddie Shore sends me this guy who's a terrible masturbator, you know, couldn't control himself. He would get in the penalty box in the middle of the game. He would just... What was his name? That's the exact line. Look it up. Sorry.
Great. Okay.
Great movie.
Next category, three foods that in this reality are either bad for you, too hard to get because it's like, oh, I had this one hamburger and blah, blah, blah once. Or, you know, you're allergic to it or you feel like it's not ecologically conscious. In our alternate reality we're building here, that doesn't exist. There's nothing wrong with anything. Everything makes you feel good. It's all good for you. So you can have like pizza forever and nothing bad comes of it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
all right, you just keep eating it.
You can indulge. You never get sick of it.
I love apple pie with ice cream.
Great.
I love really good fried chicken.
Oh, yeah.
I love baked potatoes.
Great.
Wait, I love pasta too. But that's okay, fine.
When I think about like the last time I had just like a baked potato, in the way I used to just eat baked potatoes all the time growing up, I'm like, that is a three. That's like a 180. Like, I truly never eat a baked potato.
Dude,
for how often I used to. Do you know what I mean?
They're so delicious. Just a little butter and a big
really tasty.
Just melts it all down. Yeah. Maybe a little sour cream on there.
Yeah, you
little
like
bacon
yeah.
bits, but that's it. Yeah. No, I don't need no cheese on there.
Don't tell me about chives. I don't want any chives on there.
Really, no chives? I don't have to do chives.
I don't eat chives.
I don't
need chives.
I could take, yeah.
Okay, next category. This is alternate reality. We're talking about... people that you would want to have. It could either be someone you're like, oh yeah, that, you know, Goldie Hawn's character from Private Benjamin, I want to be with her. Or it could be an actress, or it could be a character in a book. But three people that you would like to have romantic / sexy times with in this alternate universe we are creating.
Oh man. Shit. Three. I'm gonna have to say what's her name from Wolf of Wall Street.
I never saw Wolf of Wall
the
Street.
The blonde, beautiful. She was in the ice skating movie. She played Tanya Harding.
Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie.
Sure.
Sure.
Fair enough.
Jennifer Morrison's my friend, not Jennifer Morrison. I mean, I love you, Jennifer.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Don't make it weird. Jennifer Lawrence.
Lawrence. Yeah. Yes. Always had a crush on her. Sorry. And I'd have to say, you know, I'd take off Jennifer Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Jennifer. Put Grace Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'd have to say, gosh, but it's either Meg Ryan or Nicole Kidman from like the early days, Days of Thunder.
Mm-hmm,
Nicole Kidman.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to go on Nicole Kidman, like right. around there, the young mm-hmm, Nicole. Mm-hmm. Not that she's not hot as an older one, but she's mm-hmm. married now. I like to think of her as single, pre-cruise.
Understood.
You know, just, yeah. you know.
I mean, I don't know.
It's my world.
It is
not yours.
World.
It could be any.
100%.
Yeah.
I fully support it.
I'm sure there's a lot of people who go, if they ever like me, they'll be like, I only like him bald. Like, well, fuck you.
He really did it for me as a young bald.
Yeah, but now hair, older.
What a snore.
Yeah, he found life, and I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I just sound like Thurston Howell from Gilligan's Island.
Have you seen my love?
Gilligan, have you seen my love?
Yeah.
Does the thing. All right, so are we done?
No, I still have three more categories.
Okay, shit, let's move. I'm sorry.
Alternate universe careers. Like, and it's kind of, you know, this is our fantasy world. So it's like the upside of careers. You don't have to go down the road of like, well, I'd like to do this, but I bet this part of it would suck.
Okay, yeah. Teacher.
Great.
Like, even if I know I can't do it, whatever, doesn't matter.
There's none of that. No rules.
Fuck, probably an astronaut.
Great.
Is that it?
Nope, one more.
Oh, an ice hockey player.
Great.
For sure.
Okay, three skills that you could wake up with tomorrow that you've sort of downloaded Matrix style.
I could speak any language.
Great.
For sure.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I can fly.
Great.
No, that's not a skill. You can't do that.
I'm accepting it and I'm writing it down.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And, magician.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
magician.
Great.
I just joined the Magic Castle.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did.
That's a fun spot.
Damn right
it is. It's a fun place.
So fun.
Okay, great. And then last category for you, we will do... Let's do places and times that you can travel back to and check out. Like, you're in a safety bubble. You can just see, you can witness something. You can witness a moment, or you can just go back and chill with the dinosaurs for an hour. It's totally up to you.
Probably a 1986 World Series, New York Mets. Great. Versus the Red Sox. I'd like to be there for game six.
Great.
Right there, right behind the dugout.
You lose your mind.
Lose my mind.
Fantastic.
94 New York Rangers, right behind the bench.
Great.
And I, oh, wait. Where I'd like to witness an event or something? Mm-hmm. Not stop someone from doing something.
Yeah, you can't. You're just a passive. Like, you kind of experience it, but you're not able to stop it.
It's like, if I could save Kennedy,
yeah.
I don't know if I would. There's so many better things to do.
I'm very much of the mind of, like, if you change this one thing, the butterfly effect. I'm very afraid of the butterfly effect.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, oh, you should watch Dark.
Should watch Dark on Netflix?
I am obsessed with it. I've watched it three times.
Should watch the second season yet?
Yeah, I've watched the second season only once. I've watched the first season three times.
Yeah, the first season's brilliant. Second season's good, but it gets a little...
I did watch the second season. Yeah,
it's good.
I want to see where they're going with it.
I don't know if they're going to go anywhere with it. What else can they go now? I'm not going to give it away. Let's not give it away.
But the first season, I was like, this is perfect. This is a perfect thing they've made. It's a great puzzle. 86 Mets, 94 Rangers.
And just being somewhere.
Yeah.
I'd say, could it be like a month-long thing?
Yeah.
Like, just to have one more month with my grandparents, really young and healthy, back in the 80s, mid-80s.
Great. I feel that way, too, for sure.
I'm sure there's other things I'm not thinking of, but, you know, I'm on the spot, so I can't have hours to think.
No, that's the idea. It's like whatever's coming from the heart right now. Okay, pick a number between 1 and 7.
7.
Okay, I'm going to pause this. To the listener, it will seem as if no time has passed, and I will come back with your 100% guaranteed MASH future. Okay, I'm very pleased. First of all... No, I'm going to save this, but it is funny what I accidentally did while we were having a conversation, what I accidentally wrote down. First of all, I want to congratulate you on your phenomenal skills in your alternate universe job as an ice hockey player.
Really? So it'd be an ice hockey player.
Let me tell you why I think this worked out so well for you, because whenever, however you want, you can jump into Slapshot. It worked out.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you got Slapshot and you're a hockey player. So it's like, oh yeah, so you can fully play hockey awesomely in that movie or outside of the movie.
Ooh.
Like, you're a badass.
I love it.
I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know how many countries actually play ice hockey, but anyone you go to, you can speak the language fluently. Because you can speak all languages.
You know how many countries play hockey? Sweden, Russia, Slovakia. Czech. Well, everything.
When you get out there, rest assured, communication, no problem. I want to congratulate you for your apartment in Austin.
Hey.
Keep Austin weird.
Maybe that means I should go there.
It's a really great city. I highly recommend it. Going on a weekend to Austin... I do feel that it kind of encompasses everything you've been talking about. Like, it's weird. It's artsy. It's like weird art and gorgeous, like super amazing art and great food. And it's
great. I'm
going to
go.
It's great.
I'm going to go in September.
Great music. Yeah, it's great. You also are going to be working with the great, and I don't know how this is going to work out, but this is magic, alternate universe. You're going to be doing a movie with Dudley Moore. I'm really excited to see this movie.
Wow, that's amazing.
I'm pretty excited to see this movie.
Magic with Dudley Moore?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, he's not alive anymore, so this is all just a magical situation.
Yeah, I know, of course. Yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool. That's a cool thought.
And then you are able to do all of this with, I realize now, instead of writing Nicole Kidman, I just wrote Days of Thunder, like you wanted to be with the movie Days of Thunder. It says Margot Robbie, Grace Kelly, and Days of Thunder. But you did end up with Nicole Kidman from that era of Days of Thunder. I just can't believe that. I didn't bother write down that. Her actual name. And then when you're doing all this, and if you want to bring her home to meet a special someone, I want to let you know that you are going to be able to revisit the 80s and hang with your grandparents.
Really? Did that just happen?
No, it didn't just happen. It did just happen.
But you,
that's what you got.
Inadvertently did that, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a system.
It's a system.
So, like,
you got
isn't that special?
Yeah.
I was
very relieved because it's one of the first ones that came up as a yes. And I was so relieved because I was like, I was not looking forward to scratching that off. You know, some that you're like, oh, I hope he doesn't. And that was like one of the very first ones that came up.
That's awesome. Because they are my best friends. They were my saviors. I mean, they really saved me as a kid. So I love them. Yeah.
I love it. I believe that is it. I definitely want to re-encourage the listener to please, I don't know why I'm so clinical. Hey, friends.
Hey, guys.
Not the listener. Welcome you to please listen and subscribe to In Love with Michael Rosenbaum and Chris Elwin. Mm-hmm. And and thank you so much for being a boy of summer. That does lead me to request, if you can, to just sing some sort of rando snippet of Don Henley's Boys of Summer.
Out on the road today, I saw a deadhead sticker on a Cadillac. Little one inside my head said, don't look back. You can never look back. But did I know those days are over? I should just let them go, but I can't see.
All right, well, yeah, that was beautiful.
I like the deadhead sticker on a Cadillac. Little voice inside my head.
I couldn't have been more sure that was what you were going to sing, and I don't
really
know why. I was like, he's going to sing the deadhead.
Isn't that a
Cadillac
sad thing about that? Saw a deadhead sticker on a Cadillac.
I know.
A little voice inside my head said,
don't
look
back.
You can never look back. Thought I knew what love was, but did I know those days are gone forever? I should just let him go. But
he's holding on, man.
Dude, that is music.
Yeah.
Fuck. Thank you, Don Henley.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Thank
this has
you.
Been a real treat. I really
thank
enjoyed
you.
This.
Michael Rosenbaum.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Guys, I will talk to you next time on the podcast. The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.